Well, I appreciate the Lord this morning. Appreciate being here today. Appreciate what the Lord's done in our lives, and it's exciting to be able to share that with other people. Not always easy to get up in front of people, but I will tell you the blessings and joys and the love that we found in the Lord is something worth sharing. It's something worth crossing over those barriers of our own selves. Last week, we studied about having the fear of the Lord. You know, and we talked about, in depth, about the fear of the Lord. We wrote on the board, I don't know if I said it, our hope in Christ. Not everyone can read that, but, you know, the fear of the Lord is both reverence and fear, as we know it, to be afraid. I'm afraid to transgress what God told me plainly. I'm afraid to do that because He has not only the power of this life in His hands, but He has the power of eternal life in His hands. That makes me fear Him in a sense. And as we've said many times before, we love Him more than anything else in life. Our best friend is the Lord. But I want to tell you, we are also very reverent of Him. And I hope we can all get a hold of that in our lives. But I want to talk this morning, I want to study this morning about what the Lord wants to be to us. And the what He offers to you and me. And what He wants to give in our lives. His relationship with us is not a relationship built in fear. We may get saved because we fear God and His judgments. But I want to tell you, as soon as you get to start knowing the Lord, you're going to find Him a great God of mercy, and compassion, and love, and strength. And all the things that you wanted in life, you're going to find in the Lord. I believe that with all my heart. And so in John the 16th chapter, we'll just start there. Verse 32. John 16 and 32 says, "Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come." Now you place this, you realize in the 13th chapter was feet washing. And you find the Lord preparing His departure because it was right at hand. And these were the last hours that the Lord spent on this earth. The last day or two or three or whatever. Just a very, very short time. And we find Him preparing the disciples for His departure. And He told them here, and this is the 16th chapter, and you find that progression going from 13 on, you find the Lord exiting and saying His last words, His last prayers in the 17th chapter of John. And we find Him here preparing them yet more. And He said, "The hour cometh and now is, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I'm not alone because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." This morning I would like for us to know just a little chunk of the many things that the Lord has left to us. We're just starting here, but He has given us so many promises to be with us. And He said, "In me you might have peace." You will have tribulation in this world, He said. And He knew that just in a couple of days, these folks were going to be completely disillusioned. Where was the hope that they hoped for in Christ? Where was the kingdom that He was going to present? Where was the overcoming of the Roman rule that many thought that he was coming for? That was going to be his kingdom. And yet he tried and tried to tell them, no, my kingdom is a kingdom of peace. And he said, you're going to have tribulation in this world, but you be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I want us to know this morning, folks, we are going to be disillusioned sometimes because everything that we thought would work doesn't work. And everything that we hoped in don't come through. But I want to tell you something. God wants to give us something so much more precious than all our hopes coming through. There's some hopes that I'm really glad never came through for me. But I want to tell you something. What God has given is so much more valuable. And the Lord wants to give us a peace that does not depend on what's happening around us. Period. It does not. And so this morning, this is a great thing that the Lord left to us. And I hope that we can see life through this lens. That all things that happens in our life, you know, the Lord's in full control. There was no lack of control for what happened at the crucifixion. There was no lack of control that they were disillusioned even, except in their mind, because God had it all in his hand. And so this morning, I want to start there and look on. Let's look over a chapter in John 17 and 15. And the Lord tells them, now keep in mind this through the last chapters of John is a progression getting right up to the time that he goes out. This is it. This is the last hours. And in 17 and 15 he says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. He was saying the last prayer we have a record of the Lord praying with his disciples. He said, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, and they, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. And he goes on, I'm not praying for these alone, but for them that will learn, that's us. Those that, he says, them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Do you know that our peace not only comes from the Lord, but our ability to have unity and to have peace between us. What a blessing the Lord has left to us. He prayed for us, and he let us know here in his prayer that the unity that we can have with one another is in the Lord. Did you know that? Our peace is in the Lord. It's not in our circumstances or in things going like they ought to go. It's in the Lord. But I want to tell you something else. Our unity is in the Lord too. Folks, you know what? We can be so different. You know, we can see life through different eyes. And yet, if we are in the Lord, if God is in the center of our life, if His Spirit inhabits our soul, we can be at perfect unity in the Lord. Yes. Is that true? And we come from different backgrounds. Folks, administrations are going to be different. People's burdens are going to be different. All kinds of things. But I want to tell you something God wants to do. He wants to take the strengths of all of those different people and minimize all those weaknesses in those people. And he wants to use those strengths to become something better. We are a better people because we are different. We are a better people because sometimes we We see the solution to problems in a different way if we allow the Lord to keep love in our hearts. But I will tell you what can happen. In marriage it can happen. And that's where the Lord has grounded us. He's put us in this really close place to teach us these lessons, because it starts in the home. And what we have here is just an extension of that. And so he starts to teach us to give and to take. He starts to teach us that when things become really difficult, to humble ourselves and find the Lord's love in our heart for one another. You know, he has an overwhelming love for one another. Do you know we can have that even if we're very different? Even if we grind on one another sometimes. I want to tell you something. This is a wonderful picture. He said that the world may believe that you have sent me. That the world might believe in my power. Because, folks, people don't have real unity without the Lord. They really don't. There's a sense of unity. You let things break down a little bit and people will fly apart much of the time. But I will tell you, you take the Lord and put it in the mix, and you'll find the strength that unity brings. That strength is when things can happen. That strength is when things can go forward. Movement can happen. The work of the Lord can happen. And if we don't find that, we can burn up all of our energy in negative energy. Is this true? We can burn our whole energy level until we have no energy left to really do the work of the Lord, because it's all in a negative energy. Folks, the Lord wants to prove to the world that there are folks that can come together and love one another. And love one another fervently. And have differences in personality. Now I know the Lord wants to bring us all to a place where we see all of His truths. I believe the Lord wants that to be a steady progression in our lives until He reveals to us His wonders and His words. But I will tell you, There's a lot of work to do between now and then. And we find it with the Lord and His disciples. And you say, well, they weren't sanctified. They weren't filled with the Spirit. That's true. Well, not everybody is. And you know what? We have to work together. The Lord had to work together with them. He had to help them many times and be patient when He could have said, come on. How many times do I have to tell you that? No, He didn't do that, did He? He patiently unwound the ball of yarn and helped them to figure out what was going on. You know, the Lord wants to do that for us. In John 1 and 4, and I'm partial to John's writings. I love his writings. He had some way, a sense of God's love in his life that influenced his writings. You read 1 John. Even in judgment, you find John reveling in the love of God. And so here we find John 1 and 4. It says, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Folks, this is what God offers. What happens when the light goes out of a life? Do you know that when all the chips are down and everything turns down in our life, the light can go out? Unless the light is the Lord. Yes. Then the light doesn't go out. We still are able to go on. We learn to surmount those things, don't we? We learn how to rise above those things. This is in the Lord. Folks, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. He wants to give us life in our souls. Yes, we will have hard times. And He said, in this world you're going to have tribulation. Your body's going to break down. You're going to have misunderstandings. Sometimes people are going to say things about you that aren't true. You ever had that happen? I have. I want to tell you something. The Lord doesn't want that to take away our grace and our peace. He wants to make us a better person through those things. And He wants to show the world that there's something better than the dog-eat-dog world we live in. Look at verse 9 there. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Folks, I want to tell you something. I'm not an old man, but I'm older than I used to be, and I've seen a lot of things. And I want to tell you, we need God's light in our life. Because many times life disappoints in the end. There's a lot of disappointments in people's lives. Folks, you work with a few people, you'll find out that most of these folks running around everywhere full of disappointments, many of them, many of them. But I want to tell you, God wants to fill our lives with life, with light, with something that we can share with the next guy, with something we can take to people that are down and out and tell them, look, I want to tell you something. This works. This works. We can do that, can't we? You know, in 1 John 4 and 1, and I know we're going to pass through a lot of scriptures this morning, Lord willing. But be patient here, please. There's something so good in every one of them. 1 John 4 and 1 to 3. It says, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Now, when did this get written? Sounds like yesterday or today. But this was written when the gospel was still fresh and young. John was maybe at the end of his life. Yeah, maybe it was 50, 60 years after the time of Christ. But I want to tell you, there was a lot of false prophets then. And listen to what he says. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now it is already in the world. The fourth verse says, Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Now, what's the context of this? You've overcome these false doctrines and ideas and prophets, and though there might be 400 to one, you've overcome them, he says. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Do you know that that's true this morning? We're looking at a little picture here of what God offers when we fear him and when we serve him. Folks, he has promised to carry us through, to be our guide, to be our leader, to be our help. And he'll help us through those things. But what we have to do is allow him to do that. Many times in our mind, we take it up. We decide what's got to happen in our own mind. We decide what's right and what's wrong. I want to tell you something. Live for the Lord. Just live for him. Tell him about your questions. It's all right. Lord, I don't understand this thing. Well, the saints teach this, but I don't understand anything about it. That's all right. Tell the Lord that. And then keep living for him. And don't let your life become all wrapped up in all this anxiety. Just live for the Lord. By and by, he'll start explaining one thing after another, after another, after another. And before you know it, you'll be getting old. And you'll be coming up to the gates of eternity with confidence in the Lord and in where he's taken you. You know what, folks? This is what the Lord has to offer. He has to offer peace all through our life. Now, I'm going to say this. Brother Austus used to say, and I heard him say it, we don't always live up to all our privileges. You know what? We can be a little anxious sometimes, can't we? We can let things get on us if we will. And they can take us out if we're not careful. But I want to tell you, the Lord's way is a way of peace. His way is a way of strength and honor. His way is a way of unity. And we can have that here, can't we? And I appreciate the unity we have. I love being in this congregation. I really do. I don't know anywhere I'd rather be, and I mean that. You know, in John 3, and we all are aware of John 3, aren't we? John 3 and 16. But look up above it, two verses. It says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Now, I know we sing about that. We take that in our minds. We got to lift Christ up. And that's true. But he's talking about here being put on a pole on the cross. That's what the serpent was. It got put up there on a pole, and if you looked up, you were saved by it. This is what the Lord offers to us. He doesn't offer that we can come to him and boast about who we've been and how good we've been and how much we deserve what he's about to give us. But no, we've been bit, haven't we? We've been bit. And we look up to him. And he said, even so, just like that happened back there, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And he says here that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Amen. You know what it means to have eternal life? You know what? Have you ever thought about that? Eternal, never-ending life with the Lord. And yet this is what he offers. I want to tell you, to me he offers a pretty good plan. It's pretty good and it works real nicely. I want to tell you something. Eternal life is something that our finite minds can't really take in. But we can take in a little bit of it. We can realize that eternal bliss with God, the author of love, the author of peace, the author of joy, the author of stability and strength and sureness. And he offers that to us in Christ. That's what he offers this morning. Oh, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm glad I know that. I'm glad I really understand that's why the Lord came. I'm glad I really understand that the Lord loves me. There's a whole world out there that when they think of God, they think of something being down on them. Folks, I don't think of God like that at all. To me, God, the greatest thing that ever could have happened in my life. Folks, the Lord wants to reveal himself to you and me. And he'd like for us to take in what he's offering to us today. Now, we've gone over a few little things here. Maybe we'll go over some more. Acts 27. And we find that they should seek the Lord. That they should seek the Lord if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Do you know in the Lord we live and move and have our being? You know the great God of heaven that made this universe has that kind of care for you and I? Do you know that? I hope you do. I hope it's deep in your heart. I hope you realize, because it's going to be harder to separate you off from the Lord when you recognize some of these things. I want to tell you 1 Corinthians 1:26. I know this is a little lesson in many scriptures. But verse 26 says, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called." That called is in italics. That means the translators put it in there. It's not the original word. I believe the Lord calls everybody, folks. But I want to tell you something. Not many respond. "But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty." Sounds like us, doesn't it? The weak things of the world. He's chosen. Sounds like us. Maybe we're not up there, the top echelon of things. But you know what? God's chosen those things, hasn't he? And base things of the world. He went down and he chose to take his people from the bottom of the barrel sinners and clean them up and covenant with them. And fill them with His Spirit and then change the world with them. He chose a tax collector, Matthew. He was despised, wasn't he? The Lord chose him. You know what? The Lord wants to choose us too. "Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence." Because see, if we were great and we could say, "I mounted the ladder, and I climbed up to the Lord, and I found Him." I want to tell you what, He found us. "But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." What do we have to boast about? Not too much, but I want to tell you, give yourself to God. He will be unto you wisdom and sanctification and righteousness and redemption. And all the glory goes to God, because we know we didn't have the strength to do it in ourselves. All the glory goes to the Lord. Oh, this morning we want the Lord to to have all the glory. And folks, we want to know what He's prepared for His people. "According as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." I love to hear people glory in the Lord. The Lord's done so much for us, hasn't he? He's given us so many good things. And what do we have to boast about? Not too much. But we have a lot to boast about in the Lord. He's been our wisdom. He's been our strength. He's been our life. He's been our peace. He's been that one that gave us stability in life. Because of Him this morning. And He'll do it for you too, folks. Yes. Turn over to Ephesians 1 and 17. "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him." Do you know that that comes from God? Do you know the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom? And as we walk with Him, He unloads His wisdom to us if we will let Him, if we'll search for Him, if we will put down our thoughts at His feet and ask for His, He'll give us His wisdom. Many times our own mind is so strong that He has to work a long time to get us to where it runs out. And then we start trying to find God's wisdom. "The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might." You know Christ is above all of that stuff? Far above it? You know it's all subservient to Him? Every bit of it. and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all, the fullness of the Lord in his body. Do you know the Lord wants to give that to us? Well, what's his body, individuals? It's what it is. And the Lord wants to give the fullness of his of himself in our lives this morning. Oh, I challenge us today to just decide, I'm just going to open my arms a little wider and I'm just going to invite the Lord a little more. And I'm going to submit to him a little more. And I'm going to recognize that all my strength is going to come from the Lord. Because it is. We might feel like we're a strong person, but I want to tell you something. Life has a way of making us see that we're not as strong as we thought. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, Proverbs 3:5. And lean not unto thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him. I want to go to that because I want us to get something from this here and take it home with us. To me, this is one of those things that's worth jotting down in our notes. Proverbs 3:5. He says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Do you know this morning that the Lord wants to do that too? He wants to direct your path. Have you ever been to a place where you really didn't know what the future held and you really didn't know what to do and you couldn't figure it out? I heard a little laugh there. I think some of us know about that, don't we? Sure we have. You know what you do? You draw close to the Lord. You just keep living for him. You keep asking him for direction. You keep humbling yourself. And I want to tell you what will happen after a while. This is what happens. In a bit, he will direct your path. And you'll find the road before you. The next step opens up. And then the next one. And before long, it's like, wow, I can't believe it. The Lord did that. He will direct your path, folks. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Sometimes we feel like the best thing we can do is to just do it like the rest of them are doing it. Take advantage of the situation. Do evil. Lie about it. No. That might get you out of some heat, but I want to tell you something. If you want the blessing of the Lord, depart from evil. Don't let it be a part of your life. And he will direct your life if we will allow him to. Oh, this morning, may the Lord help us. Oh, may he help us. You remember Moses when he was walking along in the desert. Now, Moses had a dream in his life. He was going to help. He was going to help deliver the children of Israel. And so he went out and he started doing that right there in his own strength. He went out. He killed a man. Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this to this other? Well, you know what? Moses just decided to take it in his own hands. You ever took life in your own hands? It don't always work out too good, does it? But I want to tell you, the Lord wanted to teach Moses some things. He went off down to Midian, didn't he? Wasn't it Midian? He went off to the desert, and for 40 years, he was a herder. That's what he did. He went out and he herded animals for 40 years. Life ought to be about done by then, wouldn't you say? No, it was just starting. His work was just beginning because he met with God. He kept living for the Lord, you see. And he met with God and the Lord spoke to him out of a burning bush. What's this bush that's burning in the desert and it's not burning up? This is really strange. And he walks up and God starts talking to him. You know what? And then we know that story. And the Lord told him, he said, Moses said unto him in verse 3 and 13 of Exodus, and Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. You know what God is? He's everything, folks. I am. I'm your shoes. I'm your clothes. I'm your everlasting Father. I'm your eternal life. I'm your peace. I'm your clear conscience. Every good thing that we have in life, folks, we can try to ferret it out on our own. But I want to tell you, it's a hard climb. Or it's a hard fall, actually. But you know what? The Lord wants to be everything to us. And he said, you tell them, I am sent you. Now, he had in verse 6, the Lord said to Moses, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. I want to tell you what God wanted to meet with him, and he wanted him to know, those folks that you heard about, your fathers, I was their God, and I want to be your God too. And Moses, now it's been 40 years. He didn't say this. It's not on record anyway. It's been 40 years, but I want you to go back now. And you know what? God began to work in his life. Yes. Folks, that's what the Lord wants to do for you and me. He wants to be the same God that you've heard about. The same God that you read about. He wants to be that God to you. Now, I will tell you, I've read a lot in the Scriptures. And my life has lived a few years for the Lord. And I have seen God be God. I've seen him be the I am. I've seen him work in ways that to this day, I marvel every time I think about it. I marvel the work that the Lord has done. I marvel at the things he has done in life. I marvel at the many miracles that I have seen. I don't boast in that. I believe that every person that gives themselves without reserve to the Lord will see many miracles in their life. I want to tell you, God works for his people. And he's worked for you all lots of times too. We know it, don't we? Many of us here could give testimony after testimony of what they saw God do. And I know we could go on a long time with that. But I want to tell you, the time that I saw God hold the rain, because I was carrying a load of wood home from Edmond, thousands of dollars worth of wood, and this was years ago, and I didn't have any way to pay for it if it got all wet. I had to have the wood. And I want to tell you, I was driving home and I saw, and I'm just telling a little piece of the story here, but I saw the rain coming up from the back. I knew I was fixing to get wet if God didn't help me, but believe me, I was praying. And all around me, it was dark with clouds and storms and all those things. I saw that close down until there was a hole right above me. Folks, I'm not boasting, but in God. I want to tell you, put your life in God's hands. You'll see some things that you could write in books. A bunch of us here have, haven't we? I know the stories of what some of y'all have told me. I know the story what Brother Jim tells about when he was a little boy and how they sent an anointed cloth and the Lord healed him. I know that story. I've heard it several times. I appreciate that. I want to tell you something today, folks. God wants to be I am in your life. He wants to give your life purpose and direction. He's not wanting us to fear him because he wants us to cower down as a little pup. He wants us to fear him because it is only those that are holy that can come into his presence. And so he brings us up and he wants to talk to us. And he wants to give us direction. And he wants to give us peace. And he wants to give us comfort. And he wants to give us those things in life. He wants to give us those miracles. Have you been healed? The Lord said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Do you know that that's the same I am that we serve today? You ever seen that happen? Sure, you know people. Most of us here do know people that the Lord has healed. I want to tell you, I've seen that. I've seen Him do it on the spot right then. Things that would not ever be able to happen any other way but by a miracle. But that is the I Am. And the Lord told Moses, He said, I'm the God of your fathers. That's what the Lord wants to be to you and me today. But you know what? Those that believe it. Isaiah said, who hath believed our report? Those that believe it, I believe, can experience it. You know, I know people in here today that at one time your life was nothing like it is now because the Lord came down and saved you and took away your sin and changed your life. And you're nothing like what you used to be. I was telling somebody about this yesterday, that about the different ones. And I told them about one of the minister's wives. Oh, yeah, she used to be a druggie. And now she's a beautiful example of God's grace. And you know, that one, you spent a long time in prison. But I want to tell you something. God's using their life. I don't remember exactly what I said about each one necessarily. But I want to tell you. And I know this other one, that they spent years wasting their life on drugs and all those things. And God saved them. And you know what? The Lord's blessing them today. What a miracle. Folks, in the midst of a crooked and perverse world, the Lord can save and keep. That's a miracle, isn't it? This is the God that we read about in the Bible. And folks, I want to encourage us today, take up your cross and go with God and see the vision and see what God has to offer to you. And at the end of it all, eternal life. I'm overwhelmed with it all. And I've been just lately, I've been a little overwhelmed. I've been thanking God, Lord, I don't know how I came to be here. I don't know how I came to know the truth and be saved and know you and you walking with us. I don't know how, except that God did that in His mercy and His grace. Oh, this morning, let's let the Lord do that in our lives. He's our peace. You know, in Ephesians 2, Paul was writing there. This is 12 to 14, but you know, he said that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ, I almost just wrote two words, in Christ, on the board. Because folks, it's all in Christ. In Christ. And without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus. For He is our peace, who hath both made one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. You know, there was a real wall between the people of God and the Gentiles at one time, and I would have been a Gentile. I wouldn't have had a chance. But you know what? Through the blood of Jesus, He's broke that all down. And now He's broken down every barrier between people. Folks, we can all be one. That's in Christ. How else can it happen? There's too many issues, too many angers, too much hostility. But I want to tell you what the answer is, and that's in Christ. That's in Christ, because He takes the anger out of you. He helps you to see things His way. And the Lord begins to work with us in those ways. Oh, listen. The Lord said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Rest. Rest is pretty nice when you're heavy laden, isn't it? Life is like that. Starts out with all these visions of all this thing. Many times. Well, I want to tell you something. A lot of times it don't end up that way. But Jesus said, you come to me. If you're heavy laden and you're laboring, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. It's not the Lord's yoke that's heavy. It's the devil's. Even if you're saved and you feel a heavy, I want to tell you, that's the devil, not the Lord. Because the Lord doesn't do that. Now, he said you're going to suffer tribulation. You're going to feel the pain of being in this flesh. But he said, I'll give you rest. For I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I want to read a song that I read here a couple of years ago. It says, when old Satan's roaring, bringing doubts and fears. I think Sister Bonnie wrote this song. I'm not sure. When old Satan's roaring, bringing doubts and fears and the storms of trial thunder in my ears, I look to my Savior. His face I can see, for I know Jesus is a refuge, and I know Jesus is a hiding place for me. Christian, put your future in the Savior's hands. He will fight your battles. He will help you stand. And when you are weary, he will carry you. For I know Jesus is a refuge. And I know Jesus is a hiding place for me. When I'm afflicted, constantly in pain, all my prayers and crying seem to be in vain, I look to my Savior. His face I can see. For I know Jesus is a refuge for me. All this morning, I found it to be so. Let's let the Lord be a refuge for us, saints. Let's inherit the promises. Because this one that has given us these promises is the one that worked in the Bible days, that worked in the saints we've known in our past, and has witnessed this life to us. We want those things. Folks, they're going to be found in Christ. And let's do that. Let's go for that. Y'all pray for me.